Well, thank God for being here. Thank God for another day, and all of his blessings are yes and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for saints coming in. You're more than welcome to go down there with Miss Nikki. She's got, it's sixth grade down there, but you're more than welcome if you want to, because this is just adults up here. Maya's down there. You can go downstairs if you want to. Yeah, you can go. Yeah. You went all the long hair gone, Shaka Zulu. No, wrong way, baby. Wrong way, baby. Right there. Down through there. Oh, she got that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Sometimes y'all see me, I got my little long locks and I'll be flowing too. So, hey, it is what it is. Praise God. He gave me this. I woke up thinking about it, but then he gave it to me a while back again. Also, I want you all to go to 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be going through different scriptures, but we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7. Sister Kim, I love her dearly. She said, you need screens? I said, nah, I ain't going to make you be up there working like that. I got different scriptures. I said, we're going to go old-fashioned. We're going to bring our Bible. We're going to go through the Bible. And I'm like you, sister. Sometimes I don't have my Bible, so I have my phone. There's nothing wrong with that. Bring your phone, too. It's got the app on it. All right. If you're there, I'm going to go ahead and start with verse 7. This is talking about Paul. This particular chapter is talking about Paul's vision and what he saw up in third heaven and what he endured in third heaven because he went there. Praise the Lord. Did she send you out? She's right down here, honey. Come on. Come on. Give me just a minute. Teacher. Y'all down here, right? See, she's right here. I said she could come down there. She just... I've never given him any, so I don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How y'all doing? Yes, ma'am. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7. Talking about Paul and how Paul went up to third heaven. It says, even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. You know, that kind of, I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, you was up in third heaven. You was at the highest of heights. You was within the very presence of God. And, you know, you was given so much revelation, that you, things that you wasn't really supposed to utter about your mouth. You know, Paul, and then the Lord gave to me, said, Paul went through these things. Paul saw third heaven. But sometimes, even though we have been given sight and insight to so many wonderful sights, it doesn't mean that we are to talk about it, because talking about it, you know, and parading around what you've been through and what you've seen, and thinking we know it all when we go through things like that, we think, okay, we've been given such revelation, we've been given such knowledge, so now I just want to spread it, I just want to talk about it, I just want to let people know how I am and how God reverenced me, and he just put me up on high. He just let me experience things that maybe you can't even experience. No, God didn't allow him to go through that just so he could parade around and making people think that he knows everything. Sometimes, even God himself has to clamp your mouth down. You know, one of my favorite shows, Sonya's been to my house when it's been on, the Andy Griffith Show. And Bo Barney fights, he'll say, nip it in the bud, meaning close your mouth. Don't say nothing else about it. You know, don't keep talking about things. So therefore, you know, sometimes God will even let something happen to you to where you will close your mouth, to you where you won't utter such things that where he doesn't want said and spoken out. You know, then he took me to 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, That way I can back up scripture on what I'm talking about. I brought it out of the Easy Read version. Verse 23, it says, some of you may say we are free to do anything that we want to do, but not everything is good for you to do. You may say we are free to do anything, but not everything helps you to be strong as a believer. Meaning everything is not expedient about your mouth. Everything is not good for you to just, you get it. It's not good enough. It's not, maybe it's not right for you to just to speak it out. Some things are for you to digest it. Some things is for you to meditate on. The Bible says meditate on his word night and day. So therefore, if God gives you, maybe God will give you a vision or give you something in the middle of the night. That doesn't mean you wake up the next morning and you just roll over to your spouse or you wake up and get on the phone talking to somebody. No, sometimes you just need to sit down and meditate in what God is marinating in your spirit. You know how you, if you're a cook and you've cooked or what have you, you know, when you're making a sauce or you're making spaghetti or some type of thing, that stuff, all the seasonings have got to marinate. They got to, you know, come together and blend together to where when God wants that thing revealed out, it's going to come out as pure gold. It's actually going to affect the person that it's supposed to affect. It's going to take root, if you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not good. But the Bible says everything is not expedient about the mouth. Some things you just got to wait. You can't just boast upon it. You just cannot say everything that comes out of your mouth. Everything is not lawful, basically, is what this particular scripture is talking about. And again, I'm a type of teacher. Feedback is great. If not, no problem. Meaning sometimes you are only thing that you're supposed to do is keep what God has between you and him. Some things are only for you and God. Some things are not for everybody. He also told me to say, and when we go out of the realm of him, of what he has given us, then we go out into the realm of being proud. And what does proud end up bringing? Pride, which is one of the deadly sins. So therefore, when we go out of how God has told us to act and how God has told us to be, then we go into ourselves. We go into a proud and then go into a pride look to where, like say God has told you that you're going to be blessed with da 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 da. And so you go out and you tell your friend, well, I'm getting ready to get this. And, you know, I'm sorry you don't have it, but you know what? God's getting ready to bless me with this. He's getting ready to bless me with that. You know, so you need to start doing this and you need to start doing that. Well, what is that doing? That's not bringing God glory. All that's doing is bringing it upon yourself to where, look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, if it's saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, where's God in that? So therefore, God can cut your blessing just like that because you've taken what God has given you as a blessing and you've turned it into a curse to where he will just snatch everything that he has blessed you with and allowed you to get. He'll take it away because you're not supposed to be that way. If God has given you something, if God has blessed you with something, then you need to take it and be quiet. Sometimes, well, he tells us in the Bible, I can't think of the word. When he tells us, when you're not supposed to, what is it telling you? When you're not supposed to brag on things, you're not supposed to, what scripture is that? Make your alms. Thank you. It's your alms. Exactly. What's done in private, you know, everything you want to be rewarded in private by God. You don't want to. So if I go out here and I give Larissa something, I'm just, hey, you see what I gave her? You see what I gave her? I got my reward. You see what I'm saying? But if I do it and I just say, oh, she's blessed, I say, that's God, and keep it moving, then God will reward me in his time. But if I go and I say, See her new car. You see all the money I just gave her. You see this. Well, there's my pat on the back. That's what God's get. That's all you're going to get. You ain't going to get nothing else. You got your reward. I hope you're happy with it. I hope you enjoy it because that's all you're going to get from God. You know, so therefore, we're supposed to take whatever God gives us, like when he gave Paul the experience up in third heaven, keep it to yourself. Don't be so anxious to give it out. Whatever God has told you and is maybe telling you throughout the day, or you've read in his word, or somebody has came and give you a prophecy or whatever, that's not for you to go out and start talking about it. That's not for you to go out and say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, that's for you. Sometimes what God gives for you is for you. But if he wanted you to give it to somebody else, he'd say, and go tell some such and such. And go tell them. Because all the time when Jesus was walking, what would he say? He said, now don't go tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. But when he wanted somebody to say something, he'd go tell them. Now say this. But it's when we go out on our own and say stuff, that's when we are afflicting our own self. That's when we're cursing our own self. Because we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be, you know, was it quiet as a dove? And I can't remember that scripture. I didn't quit that. Okay, go ahead. Exactly. Yes, sir. Would you? Oh, okay. But thank you, sister. That's just exactly where I was going. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's true. That's true. When you want to get right down to the point, sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. We talk too much. We let things go out when God has said, keep them in. You know, how can God work when sometimes he's just trying to, he's doing this, he's moving slow and silent. You know, people get upset when God's not moving fast enough. God's not always supposed to move fast. God moves slow. And in his slowness, he's working everything out. But it's when we want to pressure him and push him into going faster. Okay, that's when we take it out of his hands and we take control of it. So therefore, we're toiling, we're working out hard, we're doing this, that, and the other. But yet and still, it's not working out for us. It's best if we leave it in his hands, keep our mouth clamped down, keep our mouth shut, and let him work. Because when he works it out, it's worked for the perfect good of our best, of our good. You know what I'm saying? Of our soul, of our spirit. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're exactly right. Whoever told you that, they were right. It's true. And thank you, sis, for that scripture, because that's exactly what I was going for. So therefore, everything is not expedient about the mouth. Everything you do not let your right hand or your left hand know about. And when you do, you bring on the proud, which brings in pride. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Glad you're here. Huh? Everything. No, everything. And when he's patient, he's wanting us to be patient with him. But it's when we take off into our own self, like we're rush, 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 rush. Everything is rush, rush, rush. We live in a microwave society. And even now, microwaves are slow to us. You know what I'm saying? It's not even fast no more. Years ago, that was the fast thing. But now it's not fast anymore. So patience, when they says patience is a virtue, it really is. It is a virtue. It is something you got to work on. It's something you got to ask for. But be careful when you ask for patience, because he going to give you the patience. And then you're going to be like, Lord, why did I even ask for that? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And that's true, brother. That's true. And when he's working slow. But it's for our betterment. And it's for us to realize that it's okay to walk this thing slow with him, because slow and steady is going to run the race. When you're running off fast, you're going to miss out on so much. But it's when you're walking slow in him, that's when the marination of your soup, of your sauce is getting blended in to where while it's getting blended in and you're walking around slow and you're intaking, you're tasting every step that you're walking to where when you get to the other side of whatever trial and tribulation that you're going through, then you're going to understand, okay, all of that was for my good. I went through all of that to get to this, but I had to go through the marination. I had to go through the patience. I had to go through the waiting period. I had to go through the keeping my mouth shut. I had to go through just the hoosah, you know. But when I got to that other side, it was like, I understand. Thank you. I understand. Because then, while you done got to that other side, beware, there's another side coming. Because once you get out of one, don't be so quick to not believe that there's not something else getting ready to knock on the door, because it is. But then you have that knowledge that you gain through all of this other stuff to bring it over into the next knock on the door that's going to come. You're going to know, okay, let me walk slow through this. Let me be patient in this aspect. Let me be knowledgeable in this. Let me know who to talk to on this side. Let me know what not to say. Let me know where to walk. You see what I'm saying? But it is patience. Patience. And God will give you that. And he... shall renew their strength. And it says that they that wait, wait. And then even in Psalms, David says, again, I say, wait. He says, wait so many times in the Psalms because he understands waiting is how you're going to get to where God wants you to be. It's not while you're running like you're running a marathon. You know, sometimes when you're running a marathon, it's the person that takes off on the slow start is the one that finishes. Because the one that takes off on the slow start, he's gaining everything that he needs to be able to surpass that one who's taken off and has flown by. Because he understands, well, if I wait a little bit, then my strength is going to rise up. See what I'm saying? So I love that waiting patiently on the Lord. And again, I say, wait. Boy, y'all are, I love it.
That he gets right into what I'm talking about.
So we keep on. So Paul kept, so to keep Paul from becoming proud, he had to be afflicted with a thorn in his flesh. Now he said that the messenger from Satan gave him the thorn in his side. This is true because that's what the word of God says. But I say God allowed that to happen to him. That's just the way I read it. You know, other people may read it differently, but that's the way I read it. Because let me prove my point. Go to Job 1 and 6. And brother, we're coming, our focal verse is coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 going on through chapter 10. That's where we started out from. But we're going to go to, yes, ma'am, that's where we started at in the very beginning. But now we're going to go to Job chapter 1, verse 6. It says, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Verse 7, where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan asked the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Verse 9, Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has got a reason to fear God. Verse 10, you always put a wall of protection around him, to his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your own face. Verse 12, all right, you may test him, Lord. The Lord said to Satan, do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. Satan left the presence of the Lord. I'm reading, your Bible's going to read totally different from mine. I'll read out of that NLT, the New Living Translation. But the reason why I went to that is because, you know, because back in 2 Corinthians, it says, where am I at? Back in 2 Corinthians, where we started it, it said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Right back here in Job, it says, Satan had to ask God's permission to touch him. So therefore, it made me think that, you know, okay, the enemy had to ask for permission. I mean, he was so bold that he went up in the heavenly courts with the rest of the people to sit before the Lord. He just walked up in there. You know, how bold are you, the devil? You're going to walk up in heaven. You know, you done been kicked out. You're down here on earth. You're down here. This is your domain. This is where you're patrolling to be able to take people out. But yet and still, you're so bold that you're going to go up to heaven and you're going to sit with the heavenly court and you're going to say, well, I've just been patrolling to see who I can get, but you won't let me get who I want because you got your protection around them. Okay, well, you go back to 2 Corinthians. Okay, well, in 2 Corinthians, Paul had to be in covenant with Christ. Why? Because he went up to third heaven. Not everybody's going to get to go up to third heaven and sit and be able to and able to hear all the mysteries and all the different things that God wants to do upon the earth. Now, are we getting ready to go up to third heaven? No, not right now. We ain't. You know, we still got some things we got to work out down here before we can get up there. But what I'm saying is the enemy had to ask for permission to touch Job. So therefore, I think that God allowed the enemy to go ahead and afflict Paul with the thorn in order for him to be able to say, okay, now I know I can't be all boastful in everything that I want to say and how I want to act and how I want to be, because God has already put a limitation on my mouth. He's already put a thorn. He's allowed Satan to put a thorn. But he doesn't say that God did that to him. That's just my interpretation of the scripture that Satan was told to put a thorn in Paul's flesh, you know, to keep him under subjection to God. Just like it was with, hey, praise the Lord, just like it was with Job. But Job didn't go back and say, I hate God and I will curse God. No, what Job did, he stayed blameless before God. He took it and he worshiped God even the more. Now, can we say that this day? Can we say when something afflicts us, do we say, God, what's going on? What have I done? Or do we immediately say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you tormenting me? Why are you making me go through this, that, and the other? No, yeah, that's mainly what we do. We don't go and we say, for God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever trials and tribulations you bring me through, I know you're going to take me through with no problem. No, that was Job's case. In our case, you know, we go through so many different things that we don't really want to say this. Either three things that come up against us. It's either God will allow it to happen. It's either our flesh. We've done something and we brought our own affliction upon ourselves, or it's the enemy attacking us. So therefore, if it's the enemy attacking us, then he's attacking the flesh. Then the flesh wants to attack God, because it all three goes back to the head. Because if we can denounce God, if the enemy can get us to denounce God, if the enemy can get us to come up against God, then you know what? Everything that he's making us go through, he's getting the glory up out of it. So therefore, God doesn't get anything up out of it. God gets all the nastiness. He gets all our bitterness. He gets all our hatred. He gets all of our inconsistencies. I'm not saying that word, consistency. How do you say that word? Say it, Zach. Huh? There you go. Inconsistencies. You know, God is getting all of that. And that's not how we are supposed to be. We are to take even our afflictions, even our bad things, even things that come up against us, even the things that we've brought upon ourselves, we're supposed to be able to say, Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever trial and tribulation that I'm going through this day, this hour, whatever it may be, Lord, I'm asking you to take me through, and I'm asking you to give me the strength to make it through. You know, that's what Paul had to do when it came to the thorn in his flesh. He had to realize, okay, I can't say everything. I can't, I can't utter everything that God has already revealed to me. So therefore, I'm going to have to take my thorn and keep my mouth shut and keep it moving. So therefore, when it brings us down to verse 8, it says three different times. I'm back in 2 Corinthians verse 12 and number 8. It says three times I begged the Lord to take it away. He said three times I begged the Lord to take it away. That means I got on my knees. I prayed. I asked God, please just take this away. Please, God, just I cannot take this anymore. How many times do we ask God to take stuff away and say, okay, God, you take it away. I promise I'll never do this again. I won't get trapped up in this again. If you just remove this, if you just take this away from me, I promise I'll do better. I promise I won't go see that person. I won't be in this place. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you say to go. I'll do what you say to do. I'll say what you say to do. And what happens if God removes that from you? Do you honor God with what you've asked him for, what you've begged him for? Because basically, that's what Paul was doing. He said, I begged the Lord to take it away three times. Three times he prayed. And do you think the prayer was ever different? I don't. I think it was a consistent prayer that he continued praying. God, please take this thorn away. Please take this affliction away. Please take it away. But he says, Even though he prayed to God three times and God denied him three times to take it away, God said to him, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power worked best in weakness. Meaning, that's all you need, Paul. Paul, I know you're going through pain. Oops. That's your pastor. Sorry. Apologize. In verse 9, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. He said, each time, that's all I can say to you, Paul. He said, just trust in me. Know that my power is going to work perfect in my weakness. In your weakness, that's when I'm made strong. In your weakness, that's when I'm getting the glory. In your weakness, that's when I'm being made righteous in your sight. Then God took me to Ephesians when he was talking about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. And it says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off the old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which is corrupt, lust, and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He's telling Paul, when you go back to 2 Corinthians, he says, each time I heard you pray, each time I saw you when you got out on your knees, I saw what you were saying to me. I heard you. Don't think that I never left your side. I'm listening to everything that's coming out your mouth. But I want you to know that my grace that I give you, my grace, that's that unmerited favor that you didn't deserve, favor that I've just given you. I'm willfully giving you because you didn't deserve it. I'm just allowing it to be placed upon your life. It's going to be more powerful than anything that you're going to go through in your life. My power works best in your weakness. Sometimes I got to get you weak for me. Sometimes you got to let go of yourself to let me rise up inside of you. Because when you decrease yourself, that's when God is increased in you. That's when you feel the strength. That's when you feel the power of God resonating on the inside. That's when you feel like that you can mount up long wings as eagles and you can fly and you can soar to higher heights and deeper depths in God. But yet and still, you first got to humble yourself to God. You got to get down low. You cannot be prideful. You cannot be all the way up here and think that God is always going to continue keeping you up there. No, if you want to be able to get in God and stay in God, you got to be humble unto him. That means you got to get meek and low. You got to get down below him, because we can never be higher than the master. We can never reach higher than the master, because if you try to do that, you're only going to get knocked down lower than you ever thought that you could be. So therefore, he says, Paul, I hear you. So therefore, I'm telling you, my power worked best in weakness. So therefore, keep on praying. You're going to continue praying to him, but I'm going to continue saying my grace is sufficient. In other readings, it says my grace is sufficient unto you, you know. But in mine, it says my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so the power of Christ can work through me. So therefore, now he's saying, now I boast. You know, back up in verse 7, he was talking about, you know, the different wonders that he, the revelations that God showed him and everything. And that's when he had to get the thorn in his flesh, you know, because he was already talking about it. He was already letting people know what he had seen and what he had been around. So now we come on down to verse 8 and verse 9. He's done been asking God and begging God to take this away from him. God's telling him, my grace is sufficient for your life. It's all you need. You will be okay. Even in the thorn in your flesh, you will be okay, because now I'm showing you that, okay, now you can be glad and boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So therefore, get weak for God. It's okay. It's no shame in getting weak and getting low for God, because he's going to raise you up. So therefore, you can feel his awesomeness. You can feel his power. You can feel his strength. You can feel him walking you through whatever you've got to walk through, giving you the strength, giving you the wisdom, giving you the comfort, giving you the ability to say, Lord, I know that you're with me no matter what. I feel your presence. I know that you're hovering over me. I know that you're guiding. I know that you're opening up doors. I know that you're closing doors. I know that you're making ways out of no ways. I know that you are right there in the midst of everything that I'm going through. So therefore, when you're going through different things, know that God is with you, because knowing that you've already made yourself available to God, because that's the thing that God was allowing Paul to know. Make yourself available to God. Make yourself low to where God can get inside of you, to where you're not so puffed up. You're not so proud. You're not so unapproachable to where God cannot talk to you. Sometimes you get a position, maybe at work, you get a position in a church, you get a position wherever you may be, and you may feel like, oh, I'm just so high up to where I'm unapproachable. And that's one thing you cannot be for God. You cannot be an unapproachable person, because when you become an unapproachable person, then where's God anywhere in your life? I can't come to Larissa and say, da, 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 but I'm all the way up here, and then I think I can talk to her any other way. No, you still got to come down to whatever level that person is on to be able to reach that person. And that's like God. You have to come, you have to get low in order to be able to understand and hear, your people, what God is trying to say to you. You know, you have to be able to have ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Lord wants to say. And that's exactly what he was talking to Paul about in this particular verse. It's okay to get weak for God. It's okay to be able to hear from him, because that's what he wants. I want you to be able to hear him. You know, in getting being weak for God, that's also when we die out to ourselves. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I think that is so awesome. It's telling us that, you know, as Christ died, we have to die. You know, sometimes people say, how can you, you're dying for Christ. Yeah, you're dying to the old person that used to oppose Christ, that used to come up against Christ. But now you are being transformed in a newness of Christ. You've put in away those old things, and behold, you are becoming a new person, a new flesh in Christ. He says that, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. That is just awesome when you think about it, because Christ got raised up. That means we have the right to be raised up, but you have to be buried. You know, that means you have to die to your flesh. You got to die to the old man in order to be able to be raised in life and live with God. You know, we're going to go on to verse 10 and then chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says that we take pleasure in my, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, the hardship, the persecutions, the troubles that I suffer for Christ. I'm going to back that up because when he says, that's why I take pleasure in my weakness. See, Paul's even saying, I take pleasure in my weakness. I take pleasure when I'm weak. I take pleasure when I'm not as strong as I think I am. You know, I have given my strongness. I've given my strength over to God, and I've made myself approachable for Christ to be able to do whatever he wants to in my life. You know, I take pleasure in that weakness. He says, I take pleasure in the insults. I take pleasure in somebody saying something that's not of God to me. That's calling me out of my name or saying that this, that, and the other, you know, bad stuff to me, nasty insults, you know, things that I'm not even allowed to utter up out of my own mouth, you know, but I take those insults, you know, and you know why I take them? I take them for Christ's sake, because as long as I know that I'm in Christ and Christ said that he will handle everything that comes up against me, therefore, hey, I boast in that. I say, yeah, it's okay, insult me, because I'm dying for the Christ's sake. And every insult, I put it on the cross. Every insult that I go through, I put it on the cross. All my weaknesses, I put it on the cross, because he said, what? Bring me your problems. Give them to me. I will take your burdens. And you know what? I'll make everything light for you. I will make everything to where you just walk through this life. You're still going to have trials and tribulations, but you're going to walk through it knowing that I'm walking it with you, that you're not walking it on your own. So, and then he says, in hardships, oh, money's funny. Home is a disaster. Hardships, cars messed up. Just whatever the hardship can be, you know, he says, I boast in it. Paul said, I boast in the hardships. I boast in everything that I have to go through, because I'm going through it for Christ's sake. Everything that you go through, everything that comes your way every day of your life, know that you're going through it because of Christ's sake. You're going because he went through it. He went through so much more than what we could ever bear. He went through so many more insults than we will ever entangle in our own lives. You know, we never had somebody, I don't think somebody spit on you, or if you have, God bless you that you took it. You know, for Christ's sake, you know, or the insults of, you never had nobody pull out your beard. You never had nobody whoop you profusely like he was. But so therefore, we are to take what hardships and what insults and what persecution. And yeah, we're going to go through persecution. We're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through the trials and the tribulations, because the word said that we will go through these things. But be not afraid and be not dismayed, for the Lord our God is with us. He is walking with us every step of the way. And he says that through the troubles that I suffer, it is for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I am strong. So therefore, no matter what you're going through, know it when you're weak and you feel like, oh, I cannot bear this no more. This is just wearing me out. I don't have the strength to make it. I don't have the strength to make it anymore, God. I am tired. I'm lonely. I'm discouraged. I'm just fed up. I just cannot take this no more. I can't take the words that people are coming up against me. I can't take the hardship, Lord God, all the things, the bills, the sickness, the whatever it may be, the woes of life, whatever your woes may be. Lord, I just cannot take it anymore. He said, just keep on enduring what I'm taking you through, because while you're going through, you're weakening. You're getting humble to me. You're giving it over to me, because as you're giving it over to him, everything is being purged up out of you, because as long as you're purging all of your affliction, you're purging all the insults, you're purging all the persecution, you're purging all the troubles, you're purging all the things that the enemy or life and circumstances has brought your way, you're purging and you're giving it over to him for Christ's sake. Because when you give it over to him, all of your suffering, you give it over to Christ, for that's when you are made. When you are made weak, he is made strong in your life, to where all of a sudden you're standing up strong and you're standing up tall, and you're like, I don't know where this energy is coming from. I don't know where the strength is coming from. I don't know what is happening, because it's not looking like it did the other day about this situation. Oh, this seems like I can handle it more so now than I could a couple of days ago. Why is that? Because you have weakened yourself to where you are allowing God to rise up in your life, to where he is able to say, okay, I got you now. You are understanding that as long as I have you in the palm of my hands, you can face anything. You can walk through anything. You can endure anything. You can overcome anything. But the thing about it is you have to realize, who are you in? Who are you placing your faith in? Who are you placing your trust in? Who are you placing your very life in? Who is holding your very life? So many times we want to give our very life and give our woes and give our troubles and give our everything over to the person who really doesn't care. They're just over here just trying to hear, and just trying to hear an itchy word, and just trying to have their, you know, have knowledge about your life. But yet still, they really don't give a hill of beans about you. Because in Psalms 1:1, it says, seek not the counsel of the ungodly. Meaning, don't be so quick to go and tell everything that you're going through to a person whom you know is not in God, whom you know is not living that life. But yet still, they're your friend, they're your family, they're your ace kumbaya, you know, they're just right there. They've been right there for you from day one. But yet and still, they may have been there for you since day one. But yet and still, if they're not in God, you're seeking the counsel of the ungodly. You're not seeking someone who's going to say, hang on in there. God's got this. You keep on striving. You keep on pressing. You keep on purging through. You keep on giving it unto God, because he's going to make a believer out of you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to give you that strength to where you're going to be able to walk. And you're going to be able to walk and run and not faint. You're going to be able to tell this person, yes, you can make it. Yes, you can. You can live a holy life. Yes, you can live a sanctified life. Yes, you can be able to reach every goal God has already told you you're going to reach. But no, you want to be able to. Some people, they just want to hear that itchy ear. But that itchy ear is going to give you that mentality to where, woe is me. I'm never going to make it out of this. This is always going to be down and depressed. I'm always going to have a down and depressing look on my face. I'm always going to have a down and depressing attitude to where when I go around somebody, okay, they may be happy and bubbly and nice and joyful, but yet and still, when my presence comes in that room, the very presence that I have, it resonates on that and just destroys the whole atmosphere. I don't know about you, but I've been in so many different people's company that can do that. You know, you walk in a place and you're happy, and because you got the love of God resonating in you, and you're happy and you're joyful, and you know, because God is resonating in you, and he's doing this, that, and the other for you, and you know it's him. But yet and still, this one person comes, just takes one, that old saying, one bad apple will ruin the bunch. This one person comes in there, just their disposition, just their atmosphere, you know, it don't have to be on their face. It's just, it can just be inside of them to where it just purges out to everybody else. That's why you got to be, for your own self, prayed up, fasted up, knowing that you got yourself, your loins are girded up with the preparation of truth of the gospel, to know that you can handle whatever is going to become in front of your face, to where, so when that person comes, you have to be like, huh, praise the Lord, how you doing anyway? You having a good day? Oh, well, I'm sorry that's happened to you. You know, you have to be able to say, and keep it moving, because if you entangle yourself with that, you're gonna bring down your confidence that God has already placed in your life. You're gonna bring down that strength that he's already resonated in you, because you know why? Because you've already given all of your hardship, your insults, your persecution, your troubles, your suffering. You've already handed that over to the Lord. But when that certain person comes in a room and wants to bring your vibe down, you have to denounce that vibe, and you have to resonate and be cheerful anyway. You know, you have to be able to say, God's going to make a way. It's going to be all right. Smile anyhow. What's that song? It used to song years ago. You say, hallelujah anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. I forget the rest of the song, but it's a happy, joyful song. You have to be ready to be able to be happy and joyful, knowing that God has delivered you from all those troubles. Because when you feel like God is when you know God has delivered you, that gives you the strength to be able to help and deliver that particular person about whatever they're going through. You know, so that's when, for Christ, the suffering is to make you weak. Because when you're weak, that's when he is made strong in your life. That's when he is able to do everything that you're praying for, that you're asking him for, because you've made yourself weak. You've made yourself available for to be able to hear Christ, to be able to be in him, to be able to take on his attributes, you know, which, you know, those are the his attributes are in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Very good reading in that. And if that's all, if anybody has anything to say. That Bible says you're short, it's storming outside, and I want people to get home safe. You have anybody have anything to say? I rejoice in my infirmities. Yeah. And let me tell you, when you have infirmities, I've been going through an infirmity, some people know, in my body for years, and now there's another infirmity that has attacked my body that I've kept to myself. But the thing about it is, I'm going through it joyful. I'm going through with a hallelujah anyhow. I'm going through it because I know who my Redeemer is. I know He's a healer. I know he is a restorer of the body. I know he is a restorer of the mind. I know he's everything that this word says he is, and I can take it to the bank and I can cash it in on any given day or any given time that I need. So therefore, yeah, now I know for myself, this is just me, Miriam, talking, that yes, I boast in my afflictions. I'm boasting in everything that I'm going through because I know through him, that's where I'm going to make it to the other side. That's how I'm going to be able to. I guess that's why he gave me this word. Not so much, I pray you got something out of it, but I got something to thank you, Lord, out of it for myself. You know, he's saying my grace is sufficient. No matter what you're going through, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what trials and tribulations the enemy is bringing your way. You know, you are able to take it. You are able to go through it with the power of God leading and guiding you. Is it going to feel good? No. Do you want to go through it? No. Is it hell on wheels sometimes? Yes. You know, I ain't going to stand here and lie and say, oh, it's hunky-dory and da da da. Let's go Baskin-Robbins and get any flavor of ice cream because it's just good. No. It's life. And life is not fair. Life brings so many different pathways. You know, some pathways is easy. You can just sail on through. Some things you're going to have to trudge through. Some things you can just wiggle your way through. But then, you know, I'm learning the ones that you're trudging through, those are the ones that God's going to, he kind of carries you. You know, with that old, there's a saying talking about the footsteps, the footprints. You know, you see two sets of footprints in the sand, and all of a sudden you just see one set of footprints in the sand. And that's when God has lifted you up. That's when he just starts to carry you through your infirmities, carry you through whatever you're going through, carry you through your sickness, carry you through your depression, carry you through your woe is me moments. That's when he just says, you know what? Come on, baby, I got you. I see you tripping. I see you about to fall down. I see you feeling like, oh, I just can't take this. Lord, if you don't come in, I'm gonna trick it all off. I'm just gonna mess everything up. That's when he says, come on, I got you. I got you. Let me carry you. So many times we got to be able to be carried by God. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I give you all this. I can't handle this. This is more than me. This is not for me to carry. Because he said, the burdens are not mine. He said, I'm supposed to give all my burdens upon him. He said, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You know, it was that 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Can't nobody care for you like God. Can't nobody fix nothing for you like God. He's the only one that can deliver you. He's the only one that can set you free. He's the only one that can make everything okay in your life. And everything is going to be okay in your life as long as you stay in him. Everything is about being in him. You know, we can parade around and we can do this and that and everything. But if it's not all in him, it don't mean nothing. Because at the end of the day, you got to be able to say, and you got to be able to stand before a holy and righteous judge and say, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on in and I'll make you ruler over many. Or do you want to be on the other side? And he say, I don't know you, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me. You know, I never knew you. No, that's what we're living this life. We're living this life for him to say, come on in. We're living this life to be able to live again. That's why we come to church every Sunday and Sunday school and Bible study and, you know, come to different programs in the church. We're living to live again. You know, and I watch so many and I go through so many different things and you just like, I understand. I'm living to live again. Everything that you go through, you're living to live again. So it matters what you say to people. It matters how you act to people. It matters how you be at work or in the grocery store or like brother, I praise God for brother Jeff driving the van. It matters what you do on that van because you got people on that van listening to what you're proclaiming out about God. It matters what we do. It matters. Whatever we do, knowing you're doing it unto God, because he's the one that deserves all the praise and glory and honor, not us. You know, I love our praise team. You all are dope. You all are off the chain. You know, and I praise God for you, but I watch y'all and y'all giving it for the glory of God. And I bless God for that, because you understand that it's not y'all that you're singing it to. You're singing it to an audience of one. You know, and bless God for that audience of one, because he allows y'all to be able to do that. And I thank God for being able to stand here and give him what he wants me to give to his people, because it's not me. It's not y'all, not my people. Y'all God's people. You know, we standing in the presence of God, and I bless the Lord for the ability to do what he asks is anybody that stands before him. And behind this desk is a sacred desk, because it belongs to God. Each and everything in this room belongs to God, you know, and that's why I'm learning and praise God that his grace is sufficient for each and every one of our lives, no matter what we're going through, no matter what life is bringing us. You know, it could just be life. It could be God. It could be the enemy. It could be whatever you brought upon yourself. But whatever it is, know that God is able to take you through. Know that God is able to bring you through. Know that God is able to deliver you. He is able to set you free of anything that you're going through. Anything that you want to be taken out of, God's able to do it. He's able to help you and set you free. And that's all I've got. I bless God for just the ability to have been here and been able to stand in front of his people and give you what he's given me. And I pray you got something out of it. I know I did. No offense. But I pray you got something out of it. You know, God is able, and his grace is sufficient for your life, and he loves you. He loves you, and I know me and Pastor, we love each and every one of you all. We thank God for you. We appreciate you being in this ministry and what you do for God. Pray for him and the kids out there at the campgrounds. The electric went out, and not just went out, a power line got struck down. Everything's gone out there. I believe he's ready to come home. That's why. I'll get him. I'll get him. So, but keep all the families that'll probably be traveling from near and far, because there are different kids that are all over Kentucky that are at the campgrounds, you know. So pray for their families as they come and try to get their child, because like I said, there's nothing going on out there, no power, no nothing. So keep them in your prayers, I pray. I don't think there's any announcements that needs to go forth, anything. Assistant, I always call her assistant administrator because she's right there up underneath them. You got anything, Kim? I'll go ahead and announce that because I forgot. You do not want to miss that. That is a powerful woman of God. You don't want to miss, and I'll let you finish. You don't want to miss any of it, because let me tell you something. It's a sad thing when we invite people to come to church and we don't show up ourselves. I'm sorry. I've always wanted to say that, but to say it in a nice Christian way, you know. We got to pour out too. We got to come out and show that, hey, we love our church. We love our pastor. We respect and reserve. You know what I'm saying? Come out, and we don't put these programs together just because we ain't got nothing else to do, you know. And come out, support. Because let me tell you something, you get a good word. Every night, I do know the different speakers that are coming, you're going to get a good word every night. Go ahead, Kim. I'm sorry. Shepherdsville. He's very good. He's good. Oh. Okay, well, praise God. And John Hawkins, he's our funeral friend. He's been, you know, but he's a powerful man. He can preach. every speaker, Pastor Evangelist Pastor Stacy, I know the ones that has heard her before. She's came from many of our women's conferences. Awesome woman. Awesome woman. And she will be selling her book. She has an awesome book that she has put out. And then Nick Towles, we're very good friends in their Church of God. He's a very good, fiery man of God. You will definitely get a word out of him. And Brother John Taylor, you will definitely get a word every night. Please, please put this on your calendar. Tell people, invite people. Anybody who loves Unity Worship Center, that's what we're celebrating, is our church anniversary. You know, come on out. You know, I'm sure they're going to have y'all singing, so I don't know nothing about that, but I just assume y'all probably going to, they going to sing. Okay. All right. So please keep all those announcements in mind. I'm sure Assistant Cam, she'll be telling us again on Sunday, because that'll be the following next, not this weekend, next weekend. Oh, so please keep that in your head and in your minds and in your hearts. If it be nothing else, let all minds be clear. Larissa, will you pray us out? And